This module will delve into the nuances of corporate formation, the unique attributes of corporate personality, the governance structure intrinsic to corporations, and the specific roles and responsibilities of those within the corporate structure. Additionally, it will cover shareholder rights and the mechanisms available for shareholder actions, issues unique to closed corporations, and the processes involved in mergers, consolidations, and the dissolution of corporations. Module 3, Corporations, Formation and Incorporation Process. The formation and incorporation of a corporation is a critical process that sets the foundation for its legal existence, operational structure, and governance. This process is meticulously designed to ensure that the corporation is structured in a manner that complies with state laws, while also aligning with the strategic goals of its founders. Expanding on the initial overview, let's delve into the nuances of the formation and incorporation process, examining each step and its significance in greater detail. Preliminary considerations. Before embarking on the formal process of incorporation, founders must engage in thorough planning and decision-making. This involves choosing the appropriate state of incorporation, deciding on the type of corporation, for example, C corporation, S corporation, nonprofit, and determining the company's operational and governance structure. The choice of state is particularly important, as corporate laws can vary significantly across jurisdictions, with some states, such as Delaware, being favored for their business-friendly legal environments. Naming the corporation. Selecting a corporate name is the first step in the incorporation process. The chosen name must comply with the state's naming requirements, typically including the need for the name to be distinguishable from existing entities in the state, and to include a corporate identifier such as incorporated, corporation, or an abbreviation thereof. Founders may need to conduct a name availability search through the state's business registry to ensure compliance and secure the desired corporate name. Drafting the Articles of Incorporation. The Articles of Incorporation, sometimes referred to as the Certificate of Incorporation in certain states, serve as the charter that officially brings the corporation into existence. This document requires careful preparation and must include several key pieces of information. Corporate name, as determined during the naming process. Corporate purpose. While some states allow for a broad statement of purpose, for example, to engage in any lawful activity, others may require more specificity. Registered office and agent. The corporation must designate a registered office, physical address, in the state of incorporation, and a registered agent responsible for receiving legal and official documents on behalf of the corporation. Number of authorized shares. This indicates the maximum number of shares the corporation is authorized to issue. The articles may also delineate different classes of shares, specifying rights and preferences associated with each class. Incorporators' information. Names and addresses of the incorporators, who are the individuals responsible for executing the incorporation process. Filing the Articles of Incorporation. Once drafted, the Articles of Incorporation must be filed with the appropriate state office, typically the Secretary of State. This filing is accompanied by a filing fee, which varies by state. Upon approval, the state issues a Certificate of Incorporation, officially recognizing the corporation's legal existence. Adopting corporate bylaws. While the Articles of Incorporation establish the corporation's existence, the corporate bylaws detail the rules governing its internal management and operations. Bylaws address various aspects of corporate governance, including shareholder meetings, frequency, notice requirements, quorum, and voting procedures. Board of Directors, size, composition, powers, duties, election, and removal of directors. Officers, roles, appointment, responsibilities, and succession of corporate officers. Share issuance, procedures for issuing, transferring, and recording shares. Amendment procedures, processes for amending the bylaws and articles of incorporation. Bylaws are typically adopted by the corporation's board of directors at their first meeting following incorporation. Organizational meeting of the Board of Directors. The initial organizational meeting of the Board of Directors is a pivotal event in the life of the newly incorporated corporation. At this meeting, directors undertake several critical actions to operationalize the corporation, including adopting corporate bylaws, electing corporate officers, authorizing the issuance of shares, establishing corporate bank accounts, approving initial transactions and contracts, issuance of shares. The issuance of shares to the initial shareholders represents the final step in the formation process, providing the corporation with capital in exchange for ownership interests. The details of share issuance, including the number of shares issued, the class of shares, and the valuation, are determined based on the agreements among the founders and the corporation's capitalization needs. Compliance and ongoing requirements. Following incorporation, corporations must comply with various ongoing legal and regulatory requirements, including the payment of annual fees, filing of annual reports, and maintenance of proper corporate records. Failure to adhere to these requirements can result in penalties or, in severe cases, administrative dissolution of the corporation. The formation and incorporation of a corporation are governed by a series of deliberate and structured steps, each designed to ensure compliance with legal requirements and to lay the groundwork for the corporation's future governance and operations. This process, while complex, provides a robust framework within which corporations can pursue their objectives, grow their operations, and navigate the challenges of the business world. Understanding the intricacies of this process is essential for legal professionals advising clients on corporate formation, as well as for entrepreneurs seeking to establish a corporate entity. Corporate personality and piercing the corporate veil. The concept of corporate personality is a fundamental principle of corporate law, establishing a corporation as a legal entity distinct from its shareholders. This separation is crucial for understanding the corporation's ability to own property, enter into contracts, sue and be sued, and incur liabilities independently of its owners. The legal recognition of corporations as separate entities underpins the modern corporate structure, facilitating economic growth and innovation by allowing investors to pool resources without exposing themselves to unlimited personal liability. However, this separation is not absolute. Under certain circumstances, courts may pierce the corporate veil, a legal mechanism used to hold shareholders personally liable for the corporation's obligations. This essay delves into the nuances of corporate personality, the doctrine of piercing the corporate veil, and the conditions under which this principle is invoked. Corporate personality, the foundation. Corporate personality grants a corporation legal recognition as an independent entity. This autonomy is the cornerstone of corporate law, enabling corporations to function similarly to natural persons in legal and economic activities. The advantages of this arrangement are manifold. Liability protection. Shareholders' liability for corporate debts is limited to their investment in the corporation, protecting personal assets from corporate creditors. Perpetual existence. Unlike partnerships or sole proprietorships, corporations can continue to exist beyond the lifespan of their founders or specific shareholders, providing stability and continuity. Ownership and investment. The separation facilitates ownership of assets and raising capital through the issuance of shares, attracting investors by limiting their risk. Piercing the corporate veil, an exception to the rule. While the benefits of corporate personality are clear, this separation of entity and owner is not inviolable. Courts have the authority to pierce the corporate veil, effectively disregarding the corporate entity's separate personality to hold its shareholders personally liable for corporate obligations. This remedy is neither applied lightly nor uniformly, as it challenges the fundamental principles protecting investors and encouraging business ventures. However, it serves as a critical tool for ensuring justice and fairness, particularly in preventing misuse of the corporate form to evade legal obligations or perpetrate fraud. Conditions for piercing the corporate veil. The circumstances under which courts may decide to pierce the corporate veil vary, but common factors include commingling of assets. When shareholders fail to maintain a clear distinction between personal and corporate assets, it undermines the corporation's separate existence. Using corporate funds for personal expenses or vice versa can be a significant factor in veil-piercing cases. Undercapitalization. If a corporation is established without sufficient capital to meet its potential liabilities, it may be seen as an attempt to exploit the benefits of corporate personality irresponsibly. Proper initial funding is essential for the corporation to meet its obligations independently of its shareholders. Failure to adhere to corporate formalities. Corporations are required to observe certain formalities, such as holding regular meetings, keeping minutes, and maintaining accurate records. Neglecting these formalities may suggest that the corporation is merely an alter ego of its shareholders, rather than a separate legal entity. Fraud or misrepresentation. Using the corporation to perpetrate fraud or illegal activities is a clear basis for piercing the corporate veil. Courts will not allow the corporate structure to shield individuals who abuse the corporate form for illicit purposes. Legal implications and consequences. The decision to pierce the corporate veil has significant legal and financial implications. Shareholders found personally liable for corporate obligations may face financial ruin, especially if the corporation's debts are substantial. Such rulings also serve as a deterrent, emphasizing the importance of maintaining the corporation's separate identity and adhering to legal and ethical standards in conducting business. Judicial discretion and variability. It's important to note that the application of the veil-piercing doctrine varies significantly across jurisdictions and is highly dependent on the specific facts of each case. Courts generally apply a multi-factor test, weighing the evidence to determine whether justice mandates holding shareholders personally liable. This discretionary approach ensures flexibility, but also introduces a degree of unpredictability into corporate litigation. Preventive measures. To mitigate the risk of veil piercing, corporations and their shareholders should take proactive steps, including maintaining clear separation of personal and corporate finances, ensuring adequate capitalization to cover foreseeable liabilities, adhering to corporate formalities and record-keeping requirements, avoiding actions that could be construed as fraudulent or misleading. The doctrine of corporate personality forms the bedrock of corporate law, enabling the aggregation of capital and the diffusion of economic risk. However, the potential to pierce the corporate veil serves as a critical counterbalance, ensuring that this legal structure cannot be used to shield unjust or fraudulent activities. Understanding the conditions under which the corporate veil may be pierced is essential for corporate stakeholders to navigate the legal landscape effectively, maintaining the integrity of the corporate form while safeguarding against personal liability. Powers and purpose of corporations. The exploration of the powers and purposes of corporations delves into the legal framework that defines what a corporation can do and the objectives it can pursue. This foundational aspect of corporate law not only outlines the scope of corporate activities, but also highlights the limitations imposed to ensure these entities operate within a lawful and ethical boundary. Understanding the breadth of powers granted to corporations and the specificity or generality of their purposes requires a detailed examination. Corporate powers, an overview. Corporations, by virtue of their legal status as separate entities, are endowed with specific powers that enable them to function and pursue their objectives. These powers are primarily derived from two sources: statutory law, which varies by jurisdiction but generally provides a baseline of corporate capabilities, and the corporation's own articles of incorporation, which may specify or limit its powers further. Statutory powers. Under most legal systems, corporations enjoy a set of statutory powers that facilitate their operation as independent entities. These typically include the ability to enter into contracts. Corporations can engage in contractual relationships with other entities and individuals, allowing them to purchase, sell, lease, or otherwise obtain or provide goods and services necessary for their operations. Own assets. Corporations have the right to own property in their name, including real estate, intellectual property, and other assets critical to their business activities. Borrow money. This power is vital for corporate growth and operational flexibility, enabling corporations to take loans, issue bonds, and engage in other financing activities to fund their ventures. Sue and be sued. Corporations can initiate legal actions to protect their interests and are also subject to being sued, ensuring they can be held accountable for their actions. Issue shares. One of the fundamental powers of corporations is the ability to issue shares to raise capital from investors, a process that is regulated to protect investors' rights and interests. These powers collectively allow corporations to engage comprehensively in commercial activities, contributing to their ability to grow, innovate, and compete in the marketplace. Powers as defined in the Articles of Incorporation. While statutory law provides a broad outline of corporate powers, the Articles of Incorporation can tailor these powers more closely to the corporation's specific context. The articles may delineate particular powers or impose restrictions, providing clarity and direction for the corporation's operations. This document serves as a public declaration of the corporation's scope of activities and legal capacities, informing shareholders, creditors, and other stakeholders of its operational boundaries. Purpose of corporations, defining objectives. The purpose of a corporation significantly influences its activities, strategies, and overall direction. While corporate purposes have historically been defined quite broadly to allow for operational flexibility, contemporary legal and business environments sometimes necessitate more specificity. Broad versus specific purposes. Broad purposes. Traditionally, corporations often stated their purpose in broad terms, such as to engage in any lawful act or activity for which corporations may be organized under the general corporation law of state. This wide-ranging approach affords maximum flexibility, allowing the corporation to adapt to changing business opportunities and markets without needing to amend its articles of incorporation. Specific purposes. Some corporations, particularly those in regulated industries or seeking certain tax statuses, define their purposes more narrowly. For example, a nonprofit corporation might specify its purpose as providing educational services to underprivileged youth, aligning with regulatory requirements for tax-exempt status, and guiding its operational and strategic focus. Limitations on corporate powers and purposes. While corporations have significant freedom to define their powers and purposes, there are legal and ethical limitations designed to protect the interests of shareholders, creditors, and the public. Ultra Vires Acts. The concept of ultra vires, beyond the powers, acts, refers to corporate activities that exceed the scope of powers granted by statute or specified in the Articles of Incorporation. Traditionally, such acts could be challenged by shareholders or the corporation itself, although modern statutes and legal interpretations have largely mitigated the practical implications of ultra vires doctrine. Lawful purposes. Regardless of the specificity with which they are defined, corporate purposes must be lawful. Engaging in illegal activities or purposes not only exposes the corporation and its officers to legal penalties, but also risks the corporate veil being pierced, as mentioned in previous discussions on corporate personality. The powers and purposes of corporations form the legal bedrock upon which these entities stand, dictating what they can do and why they exist. This legal framework ensures that while corporations have wide latitude to operate and pursue growth, they do so within a structure that balances operational freedom with legal and ethical constraints. Understanding this balance is crucial for corporate stakeholders, legal practitioners, and policymakers alike, as it influences corporate governance, investor relations, and the broader impact of corporations on society. Governance structure. Shareholders, board of directors, and officers. The governance structure of a corporation is a sophisticated system designed to balance power, provide oversight, and ensure that the corporation operates efficiently and ethically. This structure is critically important, as it influences how strategic decisions are made, how the corporation is managed on a daily basis, and how conflicts of interest and ethical considerations are handled. To understand the depth and complexity of corporate governance, it's essential to delve into the roles and responsibilities of its main components: the shareholders, the board of directors, and the officers. Shareholders, the owners and their control. Shareholders, often referred to as the owners of the corporation, hold equity interests through their ownership of shares. This ownership confers certain rights, including the right to vote on critical corporate matters. Shareholders typically exercise their control in several key areas. Election of the Board of Directors. The most significant power of shareholders is to elect members of the Board of Directors, who are tasked with overseeing the corporation's affairs. Major corporate decisions. Shareholders vote on major corporate actions, such as mergers, acquisitions, dissolution, or amendments to the corporation's articles of incorporation or bylaws. Dividends and distributions. While the board typically decides if and when dividends will be distributed, shareholders may have a say in policies affecting the allocation of profits. The mechanisms for shareholder voting and participation can vary widely, depending on the corporation's size, type, and jurisdiction. However, the fundamental principle remains that shareholders have a vested interest in the corporation's success and a say in its strategic direction. Board of Directors, governance and oversight. The Board of Directors serves as the corporation's governing body, acting as a fiduciary for shareholders. The board's responsibilities are both broad and profound, encompassing strategic direction, setting the corporation's long-term strategy and objectives; policy setting, establishing policies to guide the corporation's affairs and management; hiring and oversight of officers. Selecting the corporation's senior officers, including the CEO, and overseeing their performance. Financial oversight. Monitoring the corporation's financial health, approving budgets, and ensuring the integrity of financial reports. Compliance and risk management. Ensuring that the corporation complies with laws and regulations, and managing risks to the corporation's assets and reputation. Duties of care and loyalty. Directors must act with the care an ordinarily prudent person in a like position would exercise under similar circumstances, and must act in a manner they reasonably believe to be in the best interests of the corporation. The composition of the board, including the number of directors and the balance between inside directors, those who are also officers of the corporation, and independent directors, can significantly influence its effectiveness. Best practices suggest that boards should have a substantial majority of independent directors to ensure impartiality and objectivity. Officers, day-to-day management and operations. Officers are responsible for the day-to-day management of the corporation, executing the strategic plans and policies set by the board. Key officers typically include President or Chief Executive Officer, CEO. The highest-ranking officer, responsible for the overall management and operation of the corporation. Treasurer or Chief Financial Officer, CFO. Oversees the corporation's financial affairs, including budgeting, reporting, and compliance with financial regulations. Secretary. Manages corporate records and documentation, ensures compliance with statutory and regulatory requirements, and oversees shareholder communications and meetings. Officers owe duties of care and loyalty, similar to those of directors, requiring them to act in the corporation's best interests. They are appointed by, and serve at the pleasure of, the Board of Directors, which retains ultimate oversight authority. Interplay and balance in corporate governance. The effectiveness of a corporation's governance structure depends on the interplay and balance between these three groups. Shareholders, while owning the corporation, entrust the board of directors with its governance. In turn, the board delegates the management of the corporation's day-to-day affairs to the officers. This hierarchical structure allows for specialization and efficiency, with each group focusing on its particular roles and responsibilities. Challenges and accountability. Effective corporate governance requires mechanisms to hold each group accountable. Shareholders may use their voting power to influence or change the composition of the board. Board of directors must answer to shareholders for the corporation's performance and strategic direction. Directors may be removed by shareholders for failing to fulfill their fiduciary duties. Officers are directly accountable to the board, which has the power to hire, evaluate, and dismiss them based on their performance and adherence to corporate policies. The governance structure of a corporation is a carefully balanced ecosystem designed to align interests, ensure accountability, and drive the corporation towards its strategic objectives. By delineating clear roles, responsibilities, and accountability mechanisms for shareholders, directors, and officers, corporations can navigate the complexities of the business world, adapt to changing environments, and thrive over the long term. Understanding this structure is crucial for anyone involved in corporate management, investment, or legal advisory services, as it forms the backbone of corporate decision-making and strategic execution.